For our scripture reading, please open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. Paul's letter to the Ephesians chapter 5. I will begin reading at verse 13. And continue through verse 21. There we have God's word as follows. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead. Christ will give you that light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. And then our focus will be this next verse, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Thus ends the reading of God's holy word. Blessed are they who hear it, and blessed are they who do it. Beloved congregation in the Lord Jesus Christ, as you are all aware, we've just celebrated another Thanksgiving Day. It's become, of course, a national holiday. And as has been done yearly, the President of the United States has declared that all citizens of America should pause on this day in November to offer thanksgiving. Offer thanksgiving in some special way. And of course, there are many who observe special services on that day. Well, there will have been many people who went through the formality of offering prayers and expressing thanks to God or some supreme being, but really have no right to do that. Nor should they be so hypocritical as to imagine that they even can. Now, perhaps that sounds a little bit strong. Beloved, I submit to you that is a scriptural truth. Thanksgiving is a spiritual exercise which only the believer in Christ can perform. And in our text, the Apostle Paul is addressing believers. The words, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as we read the context of that verse, it clearly deals with exhortations to holy living, redeeming the time, walking in the light, and so forth, the duties of the Christian life. All of which are real reasons for thanksgiving. And this is by no means the only place where the Apostle Paul deals with this subject, as can be seen now from the following passages, showing that thanksgiving is a spiritual exercise which only the believer in Christ can perform. Listen to these passages. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. 2 Corinthians 4:15. Then from Philippians 4:4-6. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. One more. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. I think it's pretty exclusive as to who Paul is referring to. And from these passages, then, there are several things that stand out very clearly. One, that thanksgiving is not only a matter of special occasions, but must be the characteristic of a constant attitude. Not one day a year. That it is not concerned, number two, that it is not concerned with some things, while other things are excluded from thanksgiving. And number three, that it is, true thanksgiving is a work of grace by Christ Jesus in the heart. In the church, you and I must surely be reminded of these great truths again and again so that we do not fall for the false ideas of thanksgiving. That is, that it is a matter only on special occasions. And that on that day we concentrate only on material things and set aside that which we consider evil. Give thanks only for that which is good. And that thanksgiving, because it is indeed a national affair, is something in which all citizens can participate and give thanks. Thanks that is acceptable to God. And beloved, that's not true. That's not true on Thanksgiving Day any more than any other day. Now, if I explain some things further. To be sure, we are to be thankful for all that is good. Our text says we must give thanks always. And this means that giving thanks must characterize then, not just us on one day, but must characterize our entire life and every day of our life and every moment of our existence. It also means that thanksgiving must not be focused on things, because true thanksgiving is joy in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is not to say that we cannot, may not be thankful for things, but that in giving thanks for things, we give thanks for just some things and not others. It must include all things, everything, all of our experiences of life. No matter what they may be, regardless of whether they are pleasant or unpleasant, easy or difficult. Now, to be sure, we are thankful for all that is good. Includes our earthly life and all its gifts, our powers and talents, health and strength to work, to labor. Daily bread, clothing, shelter, prosperity, abundance. And in addition, there's the home and family. Our place in church among the people of God. And we must not forget the rain, the sunshine, the fertility of the soil, the growth of the seed, the grain of the fields, the fruit of the trees, the market price for our products, our produce. But then again, there's also that other side of life, isn't there? Described as nothing but continual death by Paul in 2 Corinthians 4. You might want to look at that. 2 Corinthians 4, 10 to 12. And there too, we have to be thankful. You know, because death, it surrounds us on all sides. I'm sure we see evidence of it daily. And so there's not only joy, there's sorrow because of death. Not only health, but also sickness, pain, suffering, agony, grief. Not only abundance, but also scarcity, want. Not only peace, but war or wars. The constant threat of a nuclear holocaust. Fruitful and barren years. Rain and drought, hail, fire, scorching heat. All of this. And I've just kind of mentioned a few. But all this is included in the exhortation to give thanks. Thankful always and in everything. But let's be honest. Let's be honest. Who wants to give thanks for poverty, or for a constant world crisis? The pandemic seems to be raising its ugly head again. Which one of us who has been sick for weeks or even months gives thanks to God for the very bed of sickness? And when God comes and takes a loved one, and even at times a dear child, do we look at it in such a way that we can still be thankful to God? What farmer, and I guess that's a little out of our particular situation, but what farmer praises the Lord for a storm that can destroy his crops in a matter of minutes? Indeed, it seems paradoxical to be thankful for such things as this, since to give thanks presupposes, most of the time doesn't, to give thanks presupposes that we've received good things. It implies that we're conscious of them and that we count them, that we name them one by one. And moreover, it presupposes that we rejoice because of the good that we have and do receive. At the same time, it implies that we know that these are all gifts from God. We didn't deserve them. We didn't merit them. Unworthy of the least of them. But to give true thanks is to point to the giver of all these things and praise his holy name in all situations for all his goodness and grace and loving kindness to us as they become manifest in all these different ways. But to give thanks in everything implies even more. It means that we give thanks and rejoice because everything that we receive, good or bad. And finally, that we acknowledge God as the giver of it all. Now, that kind of giving of thanks is not natural, is for the natural man impossible. I'm talking about the unbeliever. Because he's rich in things, but not rich in God. Perhaps some of you are thinking, I hope you are considering the example, the parable of the rich man in Luke chapter 12. Here was a man with abundant wealth who did not acknowledge the fact that it all came from God. He was rich in the things of the world, but not in God. Failing to completely understand that corn or his crops is in no way food for his soul. And to such, thanksgiving to God in everything, then it's foolishness. Foolishness. For they are men of this world, says the psalmist, men of the world who have their portion in this life. It's Psalm 17, verse 14. The Apostle Paul describes them as well in Philippians 3:19. Listen to these words. Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. And so foolish are they, that they think that their houses will continue forever. Read Psalm 49 about that once. Pretty revealing. Psalm 49. They really do not give thanks, beloved, at all, for they rejoice in things, never in the Lord. They don't know the meaning of Christ's words when he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every mouth, or every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Matthew 4:4. You know, think about it. What a cruel thanksgiving it would be if measured in the abundance of things. For then, you know, it's only for the rich. With nothing to say for the poor. So the rich eat and drink and are merry, and tomorrow they die. That too is in Luke 12, after that parable. Hence they glorify God not as God, neither are they truly thankful. Now, although hard for people to understand, favorable circumstances are not necessary for thanksgiving. Material prosperity is not necessary for us to have grateful hearts before God. And we see this when men of God lift their hearts in praise, even when caught in the deepest afflictions and trouble. And so when Paul wrote these words, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You know where he was? He was in a dungeon with chains on his arms and legs, guards on all sides. But regardless of this, Paul could say, but I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord have become confident by my chains and are much more bold to speak the word of God without fear. So he wrote in Philippians 1. 12 through 14. You know, everything need not be pleasant and pretty before we can be thankful. In fact, according to James, the Apostle James, we are to rejoice and give thanks for the troubles and difficulties themselves. Listen to these words. James 1, 2 to 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, and let patience have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Again, James 1, 2 to 4. So, I trust you are beginning to get the point that true thanksgiving is possible only for the believer in Christ. Does he rejoice in evil, in suffering and in pain, in sorrow and grief, in war and violence? Does he, by the sheer power of his will, set his face like flint and show himself victorious over all the sufferings of this present time, as did the Stoics of old? Absolutely not. So how is it possible to give thanks in everything? Because he belongs to Christ. Christ is the solution to this apparent paradox, because he is Lord of all. He was anointed before the foundation of the world to be the heir and Lord of all things. He was the firstborn of every creature, firstborn of the dead, and also by him and through him, for him. All things were created. He's the head of the body, his church, for which he came in the fullness of time to realize their redemption, taking upon himself their sins upon that accursed tree and carrying them away forever. But as you know, death could not hold him. He was raised by God, justifying him and us in him. And at the appointed time, he will come. He will come to take his own into heavenly joy and glory, where they shall see him face to face. Or if they should live that long, usher them into a new heavens and a new earth where only righteousness will dwell. Think of it. And so, you see, only the believer who belongs to Christ has true comfort. That's what our catechism is trying to get across right from the start. Has true comfort in life and in death. Because he knows that God is in control. And by his providence, governs all things. So that he can be thankful, or patient and thankful, both in adversity and prosperity. And for what is future, hope you're recognizing some of these words. For what is future, have complete confidence and trust in God, his heavenly Father. And so the Apostle Paul could and would write these words. Words I hope you have hidden in your hearts. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Romans 8:18, and then verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. Well, let me close with the example of Job, the Old Testament saint who belonged to Christ. I think you know a number of things about him. Once a man rich in material things, in a very short time loses it all. Loses all his material possession, but more precious, much more precious than that, loses all of his children. Did Job complain? Did he rebel? No. Instead, what did he do? He gave thanks. And it's one of the finest on record. I'll read it to you. Job 1:21. Job said, "Naked I came out of my mother's womb. Naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave. The Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Job understood. You come into this world with nothing, you will leave this world with nothing. Then he goes on to say these beautiful words. Job 19, 25 to 27. For I know that my Redeemer lives, that he shall stand at the last day upon the earth. And though worms have destroyed my body, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. Job 19, 25 to 27. Beautiful words, wonderful words. Therefore, beloved, to belong to Christ means that he is the one who has atoned for all my sins. I was in him when he died and was raised. And I am now in him in faith, looking for his return. And that's why it's possible for us to give thanks always and in everything. For to belong to Christ does not only mean redemption and comfort during this life concerning my sins, but also that what seems evil in this present time is in reality for my good. So, returning one more time to the Apostle Paul, with whom we began, and knew from experience a lot of trial and suffering. Words from Philippians 4, 11 through 13. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned, in whatever state I am, to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. But I can do all things through Christ, who strengthens me. Then again, words which we've already mentioned. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. Amen. 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 Let's pray. Dear Lord, we are thankful, truly thankful, for the good news, for the beautiful, wondrous, and wonderful words of life, for the beautiful promises that we have, for the gift of faith through which we receive them and believe them. The Lord, we pray that you will strengthen that faith and that more and more we may rest, O God, in these truths. We may go forth, O God, from this place and face the weak, face the world, strengthened, fortified by these words. Hear our prayer again, our prayer of thanksgiving. Hear it, O God, for Jesus' sake, in whose name we pray. Amen.